continuing our series, Preach Grace, and today we're gonna dive into Galatians 2. We were in Galatians 2 last week, Galatians 2, 6 through 10, but before we do that, I want to read Galatians 1 to you. It's not going to be on the screen behind you. This is Galatians 1, 3, and this is just something I want to start out with every single week as we're in this series, and here's what it says. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's an amazing greeting to the church in Galatians, but one that is so good to remind ourselves of as well. I'm going to read through Galatians 2, 6 through 10. Just to read through it, I might, you know, just talk about a few things, but then we're going to kind of unpack it. You can follow along if you got your Bible, if you got the Bible app. It'll also be on the screen as well. Galatians 2, verse 6. Now, from those recognized as important, what they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised. Since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, recognized as pillars, acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only that we would remember the poor, which I made every effort to do. And really quickly, I want to talk about that last line, verse 10, remember the poor. As Dixie was sharing, you know, Isaiah and just this, you know, we all have a calling, we all have a ministry, and we all have a purpose. And, you know, God called me to plant a church, and he called me to preach, and God may call you to serve in kids or serve with youth, or God may call you to start a nonprofit ministry. God may call you to do something, but in whatever you're doing, there's this underlying truth and grace of the gospel where we look out for the poor. We look out for those who, man, are downtrodden. We look out for those who are persecuted. We look out for those who are, you know, aren't being cared for and looked after. And, you know, the anti-trafficking movement is one of those things. We talk about foster care, and that's one of those things. But we talk about the poor in our communities, and we talk about widows, and we remember the poor, no matter what we're doing, no matter what our purpose, no matter what our calling, no matter where we are in our walk with Christ. This is such an important message, and I'm not preaching about this today, but it was one of those things that as I was preaching about everything else, and with Dixie wanting to share this line, remember the poor, is so important. And so no matter our calling, no matter our purpose, no matter what we're doing specifically, there's always that call to remember the poor and take care of those who are less unfortunate to us. So I just wanted to share that with you. A couple of things from here that God talked about is there's no role is more important within the church, and there's different callings and different purposes meant to happen in the church. So we're gonna unpack that a little bit. So I'm gonna jump to Galatians 2:9. And I'm just going to read it to you again. It says, when James, Cephas, and John, recognized as pillars, acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. And so one of the things I wanted to pull out right there is what they acknowledge. And this is really important with what we're talking about. And so you go to verse 9, and it goes back. And what did they acknowledge? It says they acknowledged the grace that had been given to Paul. If you know Paul's story, you know what Paul was doing. You know that Paul was persecuting Christians, and in God's grace, God rescued him from the evil that he was living in and set him on a new path. And that's what God does for each of us. So they acknowledge the grace that was already given to Paul from Jesus. And if Jesus is their Lord and Savior, then if God gave grace to him, then they are also called to give grace to him. And that's a hard thing because, you know, some of these church leaders and church members may have had a family member or a friend who was directly affected by Paul's persecution. And so forgiveness is a hard thing, and giving grace to those who we don't think deserve it is a hard thing, but it was acknowledged that the grace had already been given, and if it's already been given, then we should give it too. You understand? So that's so important. And so there was this grace given, and then they acknowledged that, Paul had this motive that he received grace, and now he wanted to give the grace. And so he was someone who was very much about Jewish law and Mosaic law and not allowing anyone outside of the Jewish realm enter in. And now he's flipped full circle and he's giving grace to the Gentiles. In verse 7 it says, as he showed up, that they added nothing to him. And what they're talking about here is that Paul came, and this was after, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 2, it says that Paul had been preaching this message for 14 years. So they heard about it, they knew about it, and when he showed up, they added nothing to what he was preaching. They added nothing to his method, they added nothing to his motive, because they saw that he had been trusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter was to the circumcised. And so they're saying, okay, we understand that this is what God has called you to do. We see that it is falling in line with, Jesus' movement and what Jesus called us to do and what Jesus called us to preach. So we're not going to add anything to it. We are going to agree with you and allow you to go out. And this is what's so important. As we recognize grace and give grace, we also must make sure that the purpose of grace, what you and I are setting out to do, lines up with the gospel of grace, with God's word, with God's Bible. Because many people can set out to do many good things. And a lot of times we get into boasting in ourselves and, giving ourselves glory. But the gospel of grace that was given to us is all going to be with the motive of giving God glory and letting Jesus come through and giving that same grace that Jesus gave to us and giving it to others. And so as we look at the purposes of everyone that are in the church and in our community and the things that they're doing, and maybe we're like, well, I don't fully understand it and that's not my calling, but I see that you've been given grace and you are continuing to give grace. And so because of that, and it falls in line with God's word, I'm gonna let you see that out. And so we test these things. And if Paul came in and he was preaching something counter to this, which is actually what was taking place in his church and what he was coming against, then maybe they would have said, okay, Paul, like, we get what you're doing for the Gentiles, but this one little thing right here, we need to address that. But there was nothing. He was preaching the gospel of grace. There's a really cool line in verse 9, and it says that they acknowledged the grace that had been given to him, and they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And I thought that was a really interesting statement, one I hadn't seen before, and I decided to look it up. And if you simplify it, honestly, it's a handshake, right? It's this symbol of let's shake on it. It's a symbol of welcome. It's a symbol of agreement. And as I was looking at this and as I was thinking about this, you want to know what popped into my mind? Anyone of you guys ever seen the movie Braveheart? No? You guys can talk back to me. It's okay. Yeah, so if you haven't seen Braveheart, oh my goodness, amazing, very long movie. Okay, it reminded me of this moment between William Wallace and I think his name's Robert the Bruce, where they're meeting and he's wanting them to unite the clans. You can put that picture up. And so there's this moment. They're there and there's two different clans and it's just this powerful moment. He just says, unite us, right? Unite the clans, and he has this really cool accent, right? And you just, it's this turning moment, it's this powerful moment where these two clans that maybe had different things that they were going after, some were trying to just not be murdered by the English, and William Wallace is out there causing all kinds of problems, and he comes in and he says, listen, we both want the same thing, and it is freedom. And in order for us to get that freedom, you have to unite us. And so that's what I feel like I see Paul in this moment as William Wallace, right? And if you've watched this movie, he's got zeal, he's got fervor, and so does Paul. And he's just showing up. And he's like, guys, listen, I've been doing this thing and reaching so many people. Just unite us, unite the clans. And so that's what I pictured in my mind. So now when you read that, you can see William Wallace and Robert the Bruce kind of shaking hands. But what's so interesting is like in Braveheart, they were fighting for freedom from the bondage of English rule. And for the Gentiles, for the church in Galatia, really it is for all the Gentiles, they were fighting for freedom from Judaic law, or really freedom from sin. And so it's just such this powerful thing that you see there. And so you see this beautiful moment that takes place just within one line of scripture where they all come together on the same page. And when there is unity within the church, man, we reach so many more people with the gospel of grace. And so there's this uniting that takes place. And the purpose of the church and the message of grace will reach more and do more as we preach grace and live out grace as we're called, each of us, by God. And we allow others to do as God calls and purpose them. The last 2 weeks I've shared this quote that, man, if we should allow other people to live out their God purpose, their God calling, by living out our purpose and preaching grace to them. And so what Paul was doing, and this goes back to, you know, there's no favoritism or anything like that. What Paul was doing wasn't any more important than what Peter was doing. They both had a role. They both had a calling. Paul was going to preach to the Gentiles. Peter was going to preach to the Jews. What they needed to do, though, was just come into agreement with each other and make sure that their actions agreed with the gospel, and that's what this was all about. He shows up, and there were some things that they were, and they said, no, you know what? This is the gospel of grace, and we're going to keep on preaching it. So there's this agreement. There's this uniting that takes place, and I love that. Now, going back to Galatians, verse 2, 6 through 8, kind of just reading this again. Now, from those recognized as important, I love this little line there. What they really were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised. And then verse 8, since the one, and the O is capitalized, the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work for me in the Gentiles. And this is so important for us to see. Who was at work? You guys know? It was God. And it's so important for us to realize that it is God at work. Right here in both these men's lives and both their ministries, it was God at work, not for Peter's glory, not for Paul's glory, but for his glory. And I think sometimes we enter into our calling and our purpose, and we say, look at the work that I'm doing, and in that we boast in self instead of boasting in God, and that's when we move away from the gospel of grace. And so neither one of these men is more important. As a matter of fact, like, their calling isn't any more important than anyone else's calling within the church. Now, they may have thought they were more important. You know, he recognizes them as pillars. These are the pillars of, this is Peter, James, and John. These were the dudes that were in the inner circle with Jesus. Like, they know, and if they're not on board with this, then we got a problem. But, man, Peter came at them and said, listen, this is not an issue. I need you to see why, because of grace. And so it's so important that we don't put ourselves any higher than anybody else, because at the same day, we're all working for the same God for his glory. We got to recognize that in our lives, and we got to unite in that. And so what we do is what we've been talking about is we preach with grace, and that's, man, just sharing the gospel through our words and through his word, but then we also reach with his grace, and that comes into our purpose and our method and what God has specifically called us to. Each of these men called us something different. Each of us here. And we may have different passions, things we want to go after, but it's just it's the same gospel of grace. But all we have are different purposes. Each of us has a different purpose, a different method, but we got to make sure that it comes back to the same gospel, and we got to give each other grace to do what God had called and purposed each of us to do. And sometimes we get so caught up in, and I shared a little bit about this, but, you know, he talks about no favoritism, there's no partiality, it's not like someone is doing more work or better work for the Lord, or God doesn't look, you're doing God's work, he has called you to it, it's his work, and God's work is always the greatest work we could ever do. So there's no favoritism, there is no, oh, I'm doing so much better. But sometimes we look at what we're called to do and how we're called to do it and what we think we're accomplishing, but really it's God accomplishing it, and we say, oh my goodness, everyone else needs to get on board with what I'm doing. Look at how I'm doing it, understand how I'm doing it, and fall in line with how I'm doing it. And, you know, if you don't like it, then, you know, you can kick bricks, you know. And so, like, but we do that sometimes, and we think our way is the only way. And this happens so much, and we get so much, we lose focus on who we're working for. And we're working for God, for his glory, to reach people. We get caught up in our own business, in our own boasting, and we forget who we're we're working for. And I talked about this a little bit as well. It's like just we get this zeal or this passion for what God has called us to. And I want you to hear me straight. Don't ever lose your passion or your zeal for what God called you to. And people may look at you and go, oh my goodness, you are crazy. Man, if you're doing crazy work for God, that's a good place to be. That's all I'm saying. And it's okay because they may see you as crazy in what you're doing because God hasn't called or gifted them for that. And you may look at them and say the same thing, but it's okay because you're both doing the same work for God. But we get into this whole thing of judging and not understanding, and we think, oh, they're doing it wrong or they should do it this way. And there really isn't no right way. Like, the method doesn't matter, but it's all about the motive of grace. But we talk about these things. Oh, and I was talking about this just recently. I've heard in the last probably 2 or 3 months about within our church people having passion for overseas missions. I want to share a truth with you really quick. I don't have that passion. Do I think it's important? Yes. You're not going to hear me talk about it that much. However, if you come and share it with me, man, I'm going to do everything that I can to come along with you, because guess what? God has called you and purposed you for that. And so just last week, I was talking to Kim Hall, who serves in our cafe, and she was talking about how, like, that was something that she has done before and she'd love to see it. And I said, okay, let's do that. And Lynn, our group's coordinator, you know, he brought in his buddy Steve from Zimzam, and they do global missions, and he's just very on fire about missions. And I said, okay, man, let's do that. And it's just one of those things, like, I may not have that calling or that purpose, but you do. And you don't need to wait on me to see it happen, because God has called you to do it. Will I support you? Absolutely. But it's like that for missions. Passion for anti-trafficking and bringing about awareness and bringing justice. Dixie just shared. People have different passions for worship. You're going to hear people get really loud in here about worship, and some people are going to stand. We don't judge regardless. You're not going to look at someone else and say, man, I wish they'd be quiet. And then you, as someone who's jumping around, be like, man, I wish they had more zeal for God. Just let each other worship the way that God has called us to worship. We're all on our own different paths. And you don't need to be ashamed whether you're shouting for the Lord or you are just in a quiet recognition of who the Lord is. You know what I'm saying? But we each have different callings when it comes to worship, when it comes to prayer. I think there are so many amazing prayer warriors and intercessory prayers that we have within our church. And they're joining the team, and they're gonna pray more, and they're gonna spend more time in prayer. And just because they pray more than you doesn't mean they're more connected to God than you. And sometimes we think, oh, you don't pray enough, or you pray too much, or there's no judgment there. There's people who are passionate about prayer. There's people who are passionate about the Word. There's people who are super passionate about serving in kids. And I get it. That's not everyone's calling, right? But man, Tram is one of our kids ministry leaders. Man, I've talked about her before, and she's so amazing, and she comes in, and she cares so much about every single one of those rooms, every single age group. She cares about what they're learning. She makes sure that it's excellent. She cares about the atmosphere. Like, and she's not the only one. I'm just giving you an example. She's passionate about it, and just because you're not doesn't mean that that's a bad thing or that you hate kids, but it's just not your calling. Maybe you do. We could pray about that, but anyway. Maybe you have a passion for giving and generosity. We had a family show up, and I hope he's okay with me sharing. I didn't ask him. But we had a family show up about the middle of last year, and man, just heard about some of the things we were doing with Echo and some of the needs that we have, and he just generously gave to the mission of Echo, our Echo shop, into this space that we're in. And there are people that are passionate about that, and God has blessed them and given them the resources to be a little bit more generous. But the amount of zeros doesn't matter. It's your heart of giving that matters. Do you have a generous heart? There are people within our church that are passionate about fostering. A family that comes to mind is the Grogans. You'll always see Ashley with a little baby on her hip. And she wants to bring in every single child that she hears about and knows about. And she has this passion for it. And she may not be able to take the child in, but she'll call you if you're a foster parent and just say, hey, there's this kid. And so, like, she's passionate about it. And that's awesome. But just because you're not, that doesn't mean you say, oh, my gosh, you don't foster. You're not a Christian. Okay. I'm kind of really just laying this out there, but each of us has our own passion, our own gifting, our own calling, and I want to encourage, go after it. Do all that God has called you to do, the work that he has called you to. Tell people about it, get support, find people who have the same passion as you and get together and do some amazing work for God. And don't worry about the haters, don't worry about the naysayers. If God has called you to it and it lines up with his word, you do it. You understand? Because it's so important. And that's why, like, honestly, like, we talk about serving. We mentioned we have a Moment Maker training that goes on, and that just helps you get involved in this local body, and it's so important to get involved, to get plugged in. This local body needs you. I need you to understand that. This local body needs you. God led you here for a purpose. We were doing a study through Experiencing God a few weeks ago, and this quote came along from the book, and it said, "Every member has been placed in the church according to God's plan to accomplish his purpose for that place and that time." So God leads people to a church for a purpose. God led you here for a purpose. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is for each of you, but he led you here, and he called you here, and he his spirit drew you in, and I don't know what it was, but you obeyed that, and you're here, and he has something, and as he keeps drawing you in and keeps showing you things and calls you to something, obey that and step into that. Obey the Spirit's leading. And so you need to be sure that you are obeying what God is calling you to as he has you in this church. And I don't know how long that will be, but for whatever season he has you here, man, get involved in the work that he has for you. And then one of the things that I was looking through with this is that you have this call to obey the Spirit's leading within the church that he's called you to. But as leadership, staff, myself, other leaders within our ministries, we have to be aware to who God is sending us. Because sometimes, and this is kind of just something that I need to work on, and I know other people might need to work on, but sometimes we get so focused, and maybe we have one or two people that are serving with us, and things are going good, that we overlook some people that are wanting to join us. And so, if you're a leader within the church, if you're on staff, like, be hyper aware of the people that God has sent here, because that may be the very next person that comes alongside you and helps you in the mission that you're doing and takes it to the next level for the gospel. Now, I just want to quickly detour to Corinthians. I know we're doing a series through Galatians, but I thought this was so great as it talks about purposes and callings and methods within the church. And so we're called to preach with grace and reach with grace. And really what that is we're called to share the gospel plan and serve with gospel purpose. It's really important. We share the gospel plan, we preach grace, and we serve with God's purpose by reaching with grace. And this happens in different ways. So let me read to you 2 Corinthians 12:4. "Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each as he wills." Let me go back to Galatians 2:8, and who do we know that was working in both Paul and Peter's life? It was God that was working. It was the Spirit that was moving. It was God that was willing these things. And we reflect back that Paul was for the Gentiles and Peter was for the Jews. Now, we aren't all Peters and Pauls, right? I mean, these are Goliaths as it comes to the faith. Now, you can read about them, and they're just ordinary people just like us, right? And they did amazing things, and while we may say, "Oh, I'll never be as good as a Peter or Paul," well, guess what? God doesn't need you to be a Peter or Paul. He already got them. He needs you to be who he called and designed you to be right here, right now, and in the next season of life. So we're not all Peters or Pauls, but we all have a different gospel purpose. But the importance is that we bring the same gospel message, right? The same gospel importance. 1 Corinthians 12:29-31, it says this, kind of to my point. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? Do all interpret? You know, these are rhetorical questions. No, you don't need to. You do what God has called you to. And he says in verse 31, but desire, he's talking about all these great things, but he says desire the greater gifts. And then he says, I will show you an even better way. What is this better way? What are you talking about, Paul? This is Paul in Corinthians as well. So you go to chapter 13 and you find what the better way is. You ready for it? If I have the gift of prophecy, this is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 2 through 7. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor and I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. It says love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not conceited, it does not act improperly, it is not selfish, it is not provoked, and it does not keep record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He's sharing this better way, right? He's talking about love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. I'm going to give you verse 8 and then jump to verse 13. And it kind of rounds all the last things. He says, love, guess what? Love never ends. And real quickly, I just wanted a quick side note. Dixie was just up here sharing about two of the most important things. The two most important commandments are what? To love the Lord your God and love others as you love yourself. And that's it. And that's what it's talking about. And it says, as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Verse 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, so we have all kinds of gifts, all kinds of purposes, and all kinds of methods, but one thing remains, the greatest thing is love. And you're like, well, Pastor Brent, I thought we were talking about grace and preaching grace, and we're talking about love. Well, you ready for this? Grace is God's love in action. You understand? Showing grace and preaching grace and living out of grace. Grace is God's love in action. And so when you and I preach grace, we are acting on behalf of the Lord, right? And showing his love. So I want to go back to Corinthians, verse 13, 2 through 8. And there's a slide for this, but what I've done here is I've taken the word love and I've put grace in there. And it's amazing how well it works. You ready for it? It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have grace, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor and I give my body in order to boast but do not have grace, I am nothing. Grace is patient. We talked about this last week. Grace is kind. Grace does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. It does not act improperly. It is not selfish. It is not provoked. It does not keep a record of wrong. Grace finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and grace never ends. It's powerful. It's just as powerful as love. But that's so important because the grace that God has given to you, and given to you at one time so that you can be saved from sin and death, is going to be a grace that he'll continue to give to you to the day you draw your last breath on this earth. And I think we need to understand that, because with this grace, we tend to get down on ourselves and think maybe we've gone too far. We don't now, we can't receive the grace that God has for us, and so we think that it's going to end, but grace never ends. And the same is true for you giving grace to others. It should never end. And there will be times when somebody has hurt you, hurt someone you love, maybe even hurt your kids. And guess what you're called to extend to them? And I'm not saying it's easy, guys, but you extend grace. And you show them the love that God showed you when you were undeserving of it. Because grace, as you just heard, is all of these amazing things. And we've got to make sure that we keep giving them to everyone we come in contact with. And, you know, how each of us does this, again, I've been talking about this, it'll look different. But the method isn't nearly as important as the motive of grace. I've seen far too many church splits and just Christian friends breaking up because they got focused so much on the method and they forgot about their motive of grace, who they were working for, and why they were doing it. And this is it. We preach grace for God's glory. He is the one at work, and we don't ever want to lose sight of that. We don't ever want to lose sight of his grace given to us to bring him glory and helping others experience that grace through us. If we have any other motive, as we go out and do these things that we're called to, if we have any other motive that other than bringing God glory, it is misguiding and it is misleading, and it will not lead people to Jesus. It will actually push them further and further and further away from him. And that's where you get into, you know, people calling Christians hypocrites and only serving themselves and only putting themselves on a pedestal, and that's not what they want. They want you to preach grace to them and be on the same level. And so, as I get ready to close this up, I'm going to have the band make their way up. I wonder, what are the motives of your emotions? Like, if you're doing for God, and if you're serving for God, what are your motives? Is it pride? Are you trying to earn man's favor? Are you boasting in self? Are you trying to prove yourself? Are you pursuing a title or a position? Are you doing what you're doing just to keep traditions? You know, as we enter into just serving and doing the work for God, we get into danger of saying, look what I did for God. Look at the work that I did. Doing this righteous act and boasting in it like we're boasting in God, but really we're boasting in self. There's a scripture that comes to mind that says, don't be like the religious leaders who stand on the street corners and they give out these lavish prayers, but man, spend time in private with the Lord and what he wants to do. I wonder, are you looking for people to give you praise or to give God praise? You know, it's tricky because you don't want to doubt yourself and the work that God has for you. But at the same time, you don't want to fall into the pride of the work that you did, boasting in self. And I don't think it helps that we live in an age of social media. And, you know, we want to share God's activity in our lives, but it's a dangerous line to walk. And so I share all that just to say that so when we must be careful and ever vigilant that our motive is always to preach grace for God's glory. And if our motive is not for God's glory, the method doesn't matter. The method won't matter. And you want to know who's standing on the sidelines laughing at us because we're doing it for our glory and his, the enemy. And he lives there and he thrives there. Because he knows if he can get you focused solely on your method and how you're doing it and thinking that your way's the right way, what that'll do is it'll create disunity, and that's all the enemy wants to see within the church. He wants to see us all going our own different way and standing in our own little, you know, silos and doing our own thing and boasting in ourselves instead of coming together in unity and praising and giving God glory. That's what he does. He disunifies us. But when we focus all of our efforts, all of our purposes, all of our callings, and they may look different and be different, but we focus all of those things into bringing God glory. Oh my goodness. The unity that comes from that, and the reach that'll come, and the amount of people that will hear about the gospel of grace will be phenomenal. Motive must always be to show God's love, to preach his grace so others can receive it. You know, in Corinthians 13, it says, all these methods. That's why the motive is so important, because all these methods will cease, will end, will pass, will change. There's three that remain, and the one that's the greatest is love and grace. Methods may change. They have changed. You can look throughout the course of church history. The methods have changed, but you know what stayed the same? God's grace. And it always will. And it'll always be there for each of us. We just got to make sure that we are preaching it. So what do? We live out our purpose, our calling, always with the motive of grace for God's glory. So we get involved, we get plugged in, we preach grace, and we share that grace with others. And when we're all focused and we're serving and we're preaching from the motive of bringing him grace, it brings church unity. And that's, we're going all the way back. This is what Paul was doing. He was wanting to bring unity. And he's sharing with the church. He's saying, listen, the Gentiles, they need grace just as much as we do. And who are we to keep it from them? doesn't matter how I'm reaching them. It just matters that I'm reaching them with the word of God. And that's something that we should all aspire to live and see and fight for within our local church. This is really important, but not just within our local church, but with Big C Church. Because there are many churches around here whose methods are different than ours. But if they are living on this truth, it doesn't matter. As long as they're reaching people for Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel of grace. We're not churches that are against one another. We are churches that are all working for one guy, and that's God, and that's to bring him glory. I'm not here to bring Kairos glory, and my hope is that any other church around here is not trying to bring themselves glory. It's all for him. And the more we look at the different methods, the more people we can reach. I've said this so many times since the beginning of Kairos. Kairos won't be a church for everybody, but that's okay. Because God has gifted and called different pastors, different ministry leaders, and they're right here in our backyard. And so my prayer for anyone that says, I don't think Kairos, I hope and pray that you find the church that God has for you and that you can connect with. Because he's put people in place all around us. That's why there are so many different churches, so that you and I can connect and serve, and most importantly, bring him glory. I want to close out today, and I kind of just want to give you two questions to ask yourself. I'm talking about motive, and I'm talking about preaching grace, and I'm talking about calling, and I'm talking about method, and you know, each one of us is called to do and different things, but it's all for the same God. And I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what God has called you to. I don't know what led you here, but God wants to do something. And if God is doing something, and it's a good work, I think it's a good reminder for us to look back and say, is it lining up with the gospel of grace? And is it something that's bringing him glory? So that's the first thing I would say. As you are serving and as you are moving and as you are working and as you are doing your very best to live out your calling, is it bringing God glory? Or have you stepped in to take it? In a moment of vulnerability, I've been someone who stepped in at times to take God's glory. And it's hard to recognize, especially when you're doing work for him. So I don't know if that's happened for you. Maybe that's going on right now. And maybe for you it's not that you took glory, but and instead of being pleasing and finding favor with God, you've been doing the things that you were doing to please and find favor with people. Whatever it may be, man, just offer it up to him and say, God, I know you called me to this and gifted me in this. Right now I'm recognizing that I've changed my motive on why I'm doing this and who I'm doing this for. God, may it be for your glory. All that I speak and all that I do and all of my actions, may they be for your glory. Here's the second question. Because the greatest truth of the gospel is that we would preach the gospel. We are all called to go and make disciples. Each and every one of us that calls ourselves a Jesus follower. And so the second question that you need to ask yourself about your calling, about your purpose, about your methods is it reaching not yet Christians? Are you connecting with those who have not yet heard about the gospel of grace that is freely given to them? Because in all that we do, we are called to remember the poor, and I think about it. Those who are poor in spirit, who do not yet have been connected to the Spirit of God, they are missing out on the greatest gift that they could ever get. And you've been given that. You've received that Spirit. And it's a game changer. It's a life changer. And why it's helped you so much, man, that Spirit should be something that you are taking and saying, I have got to make sure other people hear about this and know about this. So whatever you're doing, whatever God has called you to do, don't judge others if they do it differently. Make sure that you're doing it for God's glory, and make sure that you are preaching grace to those who have not yet heard it. We preach with grace, and we reach with grace. God, I thank you for your word, this powerful message about unity within the church, about the individual callings that you give to each of us. God, I pray any judgments that we may have had of others, God, that we would lay them at your feet and you would take them from us. God, I pray against any division or disunity. God, I pray that we would come together as a unified body in Christ, this local body, but each local body coming together as a unified church to preach grace and preach the gospel so that people can hear about it. We need you. We need your spirit. God, continue to do your work in each of us as you've called in this place right here and right now. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.